Our scripture today is from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 8, and again 11 to 16. But if you want, you can check out that the part that I skipped over, 9 through 10. It's very interesting. Paul just goes off on a little tangent. Didn't think it was super helpful today, but it is worth reading. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 8, 11 to 16. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, your word, which we're about to read. We ask you to prepare our hearts and minds that they might be open to receive your blessing in this moment. Help us to be challenged, to be encouraged, to grow in knowledge and faith in you. We also pray for your mercy to be upon the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory and your honor. We thank you. We thank you for all things, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8 and 11 through 16. Hear now God's word. I, Paul, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. He himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. This is the word of God for the people in God. Thanks be to God. This is, I think, the second scripture I've used from Ephesians in a row. I might have used the week before, but I'm not sure about that. As we know, when Paul writes a letter to a church, he does so wanting to address them on a particular issue or particular need that he has heard about. Now, of course, for all the churches, there's overlap in his letters, and they all have something in common. And what that one of those things in common is that he wants them to know God better, to live God better, to give their lives to Christ, and to show that love in every instance. But specifically, Ephesians seems to be set apart a little bit in that not only is Paul worried about the individual, but he's worried about the church as a whole. Now again, that's overlapping his other letters. But Ephesians seems to be talking about, in last week's scripture and this one, that Paul is concerned with the way the church is structured. And in the midst of that structure, how that church is living that structure. I don't know if it's that the Ephesians as a church has lost sight of their purpose, but Paul's really hammering that purpose home. And as we look here in the beginning parts of our scripture, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called. Being a Christian for Paul is a very important and special thing. That it's due honor and glory. It's not just some flippant thing that doesn't mean anything in our lives, that it's, you know, just like a part of who we are, but it's not all of who we are. Something about myself that you may or may not know is that I am Sicilian. Like, just a part of me isn't Sicilian. But I don't really, I mean, it's cool. My family's from Sicily, and I think that that's awfully neat. But it doesn't define absolutely who I am. The things that I do, like, I don't stand in a Sicilian way. I don't even know what that is. I don't eat all Sicilian food. You know, it's not a huge definer of who I am. But for Paul, being Christian was different. Being Christian isn't like being Sicilian. Being Christian isn't just a part of who we are. It should define all of who we are. And all of our actions, all of our encounters, all of our lives should be lived out of the fact that we are Christian. And Paul wanted to define and help to show what that looks like. So in a walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience and bearing one another in love, which all these four things here are really countercultural. It's not a competition who can be the best Christian out there. It's not something that we can rub in people's faces. I'm a better Christian than you are, or I'm a Christian and you're not, and so that makes me a better person. It's nothing like that. Being a Christian, we're told to live in humility and gentleness, not competitiveness and strength, or, well, strength, but not gentleness, not meanness. With patience, bearing with one another in love. There are some people who are doing the Christian life better than others, but we're to bear with one another in love and walk in humility and gentleness with one another, making every effort to maintain that unity of the Spirit, which is, we do it in the bond of peace. Now, we've been in churches that are hurting, churches that are struggling, churches that have lost sight of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, and there has been nitpicking and fighting and arguing with one another, and our denomination has gone through that and is still experiencing some of that. Churches that are in pain, and the go-to style of communicating is yelling and sarcasm and hurt. But how the church is supposed to live is through the Spirit and in the bond of peace. We're always to remember that it is unity. And this unity is also across denominational lines. Unity is in one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope, our salvation and life eternal of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, we ascend on high, and he made captivity its captive. He gave gifts to his people. Now, in Ephesians, he talks about what some of those gifts are, just some of them. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and all these gifts are to be used to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, these gifts, we've heard all this before, that God gives within the church spiritual gifts. I love that the church is used, that the body is used as a metaphor for the church. Imagine for a moment if your finger decided not to be part of your body anymore and just jumped off your hand and started living on its own. That'd be weird. And two, it'd be ridiculous. What could your finger accomplish all on its own? It could accomplish a few things. Let's say it could live, you know, but it could, like, point people in the right direction. It could randomly scratch a neighbor's back. It could pick a neighbor's nose if it wanted to. you know, if it really needed it. I mean, there's a time for everything. The Bible tells us that, yeah, right? It's the pointer finger. It's the pointer finger. So it's not calling anyone names or anything like that. Yeah, there's uses, but it would be lacking in so many other things. And of course, we know, like an ember that's brought out on the fire, left to rest on the hearth, dies eventually. The body of Christ is made up of different parts, people with different gifts. What one does, another may not be able to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're to help to one another. We're to help each other grow, to support one another, to lift each other up as the gifts, with the gifts that we have been given. I know I have mine, and there's other pastors out there who have different ones. One of the strengths in the United Methodist Church is that we are itinerant. And that means that when one pastor leaves, another pastor will come in and pick up where that pastor left off with the gifts that he or she did not have, that they possess. So we help one another in our times of need and in our places that are overlooked for one reason or another. And the truth is that we all have gifts. And we're not to squander them, but to use them. In the Bible, it talks about many gifts. Romans, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, and teaching. 1 Corinthians talks about administration, discernment, healing, interpretation of languages, prophecy, wisdom, apostle, faith, helps, knowledge, miracles, and teaching. Of course, there's overlap here. Ephesians talks about apostle, pastor, teaching, evangelism, and prophecy. And 1 Peter talks about service and teaching. These are the ones the Bible mentioned. But as tradition gives us, men and women have looked all over the Bible, have looked at people who are called by God, and noticed that they have gifts that Paul didn't mention in his letters. So they wrote down other gifts. Here are just a few. Administration, apostleship, craftsmanship, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, helps, hospitality, intercession, leadership, mercy, miracles, prophecy, service, shepherd, teaching, tongues, words of knowledge, and words of wisdom. And again, these aren't all of them either. There's others. One of the ones that I see is missing that has been on many other lists is martyrdom, being able to sacrifice yourself, not necessarily in death, but giving of yourself for others. And again, that has overlap with generosity and service and helps. We are all called and given gifts to do something. Showing up and going home, God calls us to do more. Whatever that might be, however that might look, and it may not be within the structure, excuse me, of the institutional church. It may mean to be home and praying for loved ones, for strangers. We know people who pray on a constant basis because that's what God has given them to do. We know people who, when they say, "I'll pray for you," you know that they are praying. There is, I've mentioned this before because I just love it so much. We talk about gifts and things that God calls us to do that are outside of the box. Of course, within the church, we have different areas to serve. We got Sunday school teacher, trustees, we got SPRC, we got finance, we got treasurer, we got all kinds of different things. But Bob Casper, he's felt like God has called him to serve God in a very specific way. And you might know this already. Bob makes rings out of copper pipe and aluminum pipe, and Joanne's giving me the finger right now. And I'm Joanne's ring she had was wearing one of Bob Casper's rings. It was on her middle finger, and she showed me that. Bob Casper, what he does is he carries these rings, and he carries them in his pocket wherever he goes. And when he gets to talking to someone, he pulls out a ring, and he holds it, and he shares his story about how God had healed him in his life. And he says, I want you to remember that God is a God of healing, and God is a God of love, and I hope that this ring reminds you of that, and gives them the ring. He said no one's ever told him no. And he says many have shared their stories and love the opportunity to do just that. We may not see what God is calling us to do on this list, but God is calling us to be Christian in some particular way. And I pray that we do just that. That when God meets us as individuals, when others meet us as individuals and as a church, that others are meeting Christ in that moment also. Seeing that love, understanding that they are our love, and moving to Christ, towards Christ, even if it's just a little bit. This final benediction today. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Go into peace, knowing that Christ goes with you always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.